I would invite you to take a Bible and open it to Psalm 67. And then we will also read briefly from Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12. First, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. Selah. That Your way may be known upon earth, Your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase, God. Our God has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere Him. And then in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, He withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made His home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali. On the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Here we are in the latter part of January, reading a text that was usually reserved, that is, the text from Psalms, usually reserved for the harvest festival, the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall, to celebrate the harvest and the bounteousness of that harvest. And more than that, we've also read from Matthew as Jesus begins His preaching after His trials in the wilderness. Those trials or temptations that He faced that had left Him exhausted. And yet, He comes out of the wilderness exhausted, but still able to praise God for the things that He was to do, the things that He was to see, even the things that He had experienced at that point in time. Now, you might think, especially in Jesus' case, His praise to God would be, "Well, thank God this part's over." But Jesus found reason to call people to repent and praise God by becoming part of the kingdom of heaven, even out of the difficult situations. Because sometimes it is so much more difficult to commit to do that when difficulties arise than when things are going well in our lives. Now, you might wonder, since the Christmas rush is over, we're toward the end of January, Easter's coming in March, but we've still got some time here. Isn't it time to just kind of go, "Boy, glad that's over"? By the way, the Valentine candy was out before the last week of December, and the Easter candy was out after the first week of January. And walking through a store recently, they were putting bathing suits on the rack. I think it's a little bit soon. But it seems that our lives get so rushed that sometimes we forget to slow down and think about the many things that God gives to us and offer praise. to God and to each other. So, one passage is about the Hebrew harvest. The other passage is about repenting and becoming part of the kingdom of God. So what do these even have to do with the gospel? I mean, what is the gospel anyway? Is it the gospel that Jesus came and lived and died for our sins and was raised? Isn't that the gospel? Well, that's part of the gospel. That's part of the gospel. That is what we as Christians think of as gospel. The word for gospel, euangelion, literally means good news. Good news. And it was used in many different situations, in many different ways in life. Good news of the birth of a child, especially a royal heir. Good news was proclaimed in the Greek world, euangelion. Good news of victory in the Olympic Games. When the Olympics were held, and there would be a runner that would come back, and if he was crying, euangelion, that meant that there had been victory in the Olympic Games. If there was a battle that waged in war, people in the town would wait to hear when the runner came through to spread the news, whether it was good news or not. And of course, good news in the coming of a Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And as I said, most Christians would say that is the true gospel, and some would say it's the only true gospel. But I would submit to you that the good news of God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's provision is even before the coming of Jesus. It finds fruition. It finds fullness in Jesus' coming. But even before that, there was reason to praise God for the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, not just out there somewhere. I was going to say somewhere out there, but somebody might finish the song. Not just out there somewhere, but the kingdom of God here, present on the earth for you and for me and for all others. This gospel of God, which is at the foundation of any good news or any gospel that we could ever have in our lives. So first, let's look briefly at Psalm 67, which offers praise to God for the good news of the harvest, for the good news of God's provision throughout life, not just in the fall of the year. It opens with a blessing which we often take as a benediction. I mean, really, most of the time when we use this part of the scripture, it's a benediction. May God be gracious to you and bless you and make His face to shine upon you. And then we say, and give you peace. Right? That's a typical benediction. But here, Psalm 67 opens with this as a praise about God. It's an introduction, a recognition of all the many things that God provides. And it's a request that God continue to provide that, not just at the close of the day, but each and every step along the way. And yet it's so much more. For you see, this particular psalm was most likely written after the Babylonian exile. We know that David wrote many of the psalms. He did not write all of them, and this is one of those that he may not have authored. But it was part of that hymnody, that recognition and praise of God that makes up the Psalms. And it is filled with a sense of idealism and hope for God to bring about blessing and redemption for all the people. After the exile, the people were wondering what was next, what was going to happen. And yet, this psalmist recognized that even during the time of exile, even during the time of all of those horrid things and being away from the homeland, God continued to give blessing. God continued to watch over the people and provide for them. It's a recognition that God has already blessed the earth with His presence, and it's God's goodness to Israel is to be a light of revelation to all the world, not just for Israel, but it's to be a light of revelation for all the world to see. God is good to Israel and for the Christian church. God is good in our lives. We should then shine forth and let that good news continue to be spread to all the world, telling them this is how God treats those and deals with those who truly reverence and respect God. Yet before we get too overconfident about how God should lavish us with bounty, because we deserve it, after all, we're God's chosen ones, we need to note that the writer begins with that praise as a prayer that God is good and will be good despite their sins. And that's something that goes back to Jesus preaching here, His call to repent. The kingdom of heaven is near, He says. The good news is here. God is present with you now in spite of your sins. Therefore, repent. Come back so that you can experience all of God's blessing and give praise for that good news. We need the radiance of God's piercing yet gracious light to let us see where we need to step forward and allow us to be blessed. This good news is not just for us, though. And it's not just for Israel to pray that God will bless this small nation. Notice this whole psalm is filled with reference to all the nations, to all the people. And do we not need that so much even today? That the blessing of God's good news of grace and forgiveness is out there for all people. Not just Israel, not just the U.S., not just First Baptist Piedmont, not just my own home, but for all of those people around us. God wishes grace. God wishes forgiveness. Yet that grace and forgiveness, that good news of the gospel of God, is not without cost for us. Because we have to come to the point where we recognize its presence, we recognize our shortcomings, and then we repent and we step forward to be that light of forgiveness and worship and praise. All of those who will reach out and accept God's saving blessings, who will reverence and worship and praise God, find that good news. Find that good news in which God provides more than we really need and more than we could hope for. And the psalmist continues to speak of what this gospel of God means. Believe in Jesus as God's Son, right? Well, not at that point in time. That comes later. But it is a gospel about joy and justice for all and guidance from God for a meaningful, purpose-filled life. When he speaks of knowing God's way, he is speaking of God's redemptive purposes. For you see, God didn't just decide to redeem through Jesus. God was constantly seeking to redeem his people throughout history. He knows that God's way is redemptive and that God wishes for all people goodness salvation from evil outside, and even more so, salvation and redemption from ourselves. Salvation and redemption from ourselves. And only God has the ultimate power to do this. And He does it by being just and equitable. And that is good news. Now, I'm not talking about justice dodging the light bolts, frying people because of evil. But God treating us justly and fairly and equally, because God's grace and God's love is so wide and expansive that God gives us that. God has the ultimate authority, we know. And yet God graces us with the opportunity to choose. To choose to not only reject, but to choose to accept. Accept both the redemption and the corresponding responsibility to share that good news of the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom which is available now. To share it through word, song, and action. The ways we live our lives. The only proper responses to a gracious God who is merciful. This was actually a rather audacious claim, if you think about it, especially in the time period in which it was written. A rather audacious claim that God governs all people with impartiality, with equity, treating them justly, and wishes that none would perish. And that's truly the gospel of God. That God wishes to treat everyone justly, fairly, and that no one would perish. That's God's desire. That's God's good news. Even before the coming of Jesus. And in that coming of Jesus, God brings that to full fruit. That desire that no one should perish, but that everyone should experience God's grace. But it's not a one-way street. With God as the only purveyor of grace, the only one who resolves conflict through God's leading and His graciousness, we find and then share the guidance necessary to resolve our own conflicts, our own conflicting interests, into a positive light. A positive light, but like a star, shines. Not shines because we are good, but shines because we reflect the light and the grace that God brings to us when we are so undeserving. God has blessed us with the kingdom and called us to be kingdom people. Just as the psalmist says, let all the ends of the earth fear Him, that is, reverence God, not us, but reverence God. And we can help that to happen because we reflect that light like the star. So what does this have to do with Matthew chapter 4? I hope by now you've drawn at least a slight line between the two. If we truly look at the message of Jesus here in Matthew 4:12-17, especially that last verse, we find a call for all persons to come to God's kingdom, not just Jews or those like us, but even the land of the Gentiles, which is mentioned here. Even the land of the Gentiles. Those who are not Jewish. Anyone who has been in the dark without the gospel of God's blessing. Because you see, that's what we live in if we do not come to that gospel of God's blessing and God's good news and God's kingdom. We're still in the darkness. no matter how brightly the shine may come from the sun, no matter how brightly the artificial lights we put out may shine, if we are without that good news and the acceptance of that good news and the responsible living of that good news, we are in darkness. And we are just like those people on whom the light has shined. And that is the gospel. The kingdom of a gracious and equitable God is at hand, is what Jesus is saying. That kingdom is near. The kingdom is near. And that is gospel. It is a gospel that calls for us all to weigh heavily our condition, to look very clearly at our condition, both in accepting God's grace and redemption and in our giving godly grace and redemption. Jesus states that the first criterion for us to gain the gospel of God's kingdom is to repent. To repent of all of those things that separate us. Separate us from God, yes. But separate us from others as well. The verb used here, metanoiate, means more than just being sorry for sin. It's more than just accepting forgiveness from God. Rather, it literally means to turn around and choose a different, wiser course of living. To choose a different and a wiser course of living. It involves a profound sorrow for sin. Restitution as far as possible. And a continuing resolve not to commit that sin against God or others. The rabbi, aha. It's not aha, it's aha. In AD 320 said, if the Israelites would truly repent for one full day, then the Messiah, son of David, would come immediately. A recognition as to how difficult it is for us to truly change our minds and pursue that wiser course of living. But I would say to that, that Messiah has come. Messiah has come in Jesus of Nazareth. And he says that the first step of the gospel is that God's kingdom is here and available to any who will truly, truly change their mind and wish for that kind of living. Living that shares the kingdom of God, not just with God, but with others around them. Living that seems to attempt to bless others rather than seek blessing. As Ben Witherington in his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew writes, Jesus' ministry is not just a spiritual one, as is clear from his many acts of physical healing. His is a much more holistic approach. The divine saving activity of God is involved on, and I would add with, the earth, not just in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is brought by God. It is the sum of all of God's gifts for you and for me and for the entire earth. It is already beginning to be seen in God's activity, even before Jesus, but especially through Jesus' ministry, and it can be entered into now. It can be entered into now. But not through race or nationality or creed or denomination. Purely through moral means. And the kingdom of God, the gospel of God, is holistic in the healing of physical, emotional, spiritual, prejudicial conflicts if persons accept forgiveness and the demand to shine as a light of restoration and redemption, to bask in that harvest, not because we are part of the ones harvested, but because we have opportunities to share in God's harvesting. When we do, there is loud praise for the gospel of God's saving ways, a just and equitable grace and love for all. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, and praise Him in the way we live it. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, we do come before you with praise and thanksgiving. So often our praise seems so shallow and doesn't come from deep inside, but we know that you see and you hear, and we ask that you would lift us to the point where we truly find your good news of the kingdom of God, not just for us, but something that wells up from deep inside and is shared with all of those around. May our lives be praise as we seek to share that kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is 596, I Surrender All. If indeed we do surrender our wants and needs and desires to God's desire, then we will help share that kingdom of heaven and its availability now, not just with those that we like, but with all of those around us. Our altar is open for any decision that would be made, a decision for Christ for the first time, a decision of recommitment and renewal, a decision of becoming a part of this fellowship. Hymn number 596, I Surrender All.